Back of Sports, episode 120. Coach John Brubaker on National Coaches Day. This week on the Tech of Sports, we're going to talk about National Coaches Day in Modern Life. Podcast network mobile apps are a great way to receive our content on your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. Don't forget Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and all the other apps which allow you to get the Modern Life Podcast Network shows preloaded. The Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com, and the Tech of Sports is a production of Modern Life Podcast Network at Modern Life podcastnetwork.com. I want to welcome everyone tonight to a little early recording this week because we wanted to talk to one of the returning guests here on the Tech of Sports and a Modern Life Podcast Network favorite, John Brubaker. He's a former college coach, a noted public speaker, author, executive coach now, and really an inspiration to everyone he comes into contact with. He's the author of The Coach Approach and Seeds of Success, and he's got many clients which range from financial services to healthcare to manufacturing to nonprofits. And he also speaks and deals with lots of executives, entrepreneurs, and coaches from around the country. So it's great to have him on. And John, I learned something new about you by kind of perusing through your bio. You hold the world record for the most consecutive days wearing a whistle. That's 63 days. If that doesn't say something about National Coaches Day, I don't know what does.
63 days and counting.
You still got it on?
Great to be here, guys. I'd like to just start by saying I want to wish you both, you and Steve Lee, Rick, a belated International Podcast Day.
Ah, you had to get that in. Steve's producing. I wanted to have him on. He can break in anytime he wants, but he's exhausted after being up for 31 straight hours broadcasting on National Podcast Day. And there's a national day for everything, and definitely podcasts deserve to have their day. And it was a great day. They did a great job. Really drew some attention, John, to the growing platform of podcasting, which I know you're on board with. So it was a great day. And coming up this week, Tuesday, October 6th, is National Coaches Day. And this is did a little research on it. It's a little haphazard on how it came to be, but it's actually, you wouldn't think so, but it's inspired by Richard Nixon. And he made a presidential proclamation back in 1972, and he called that day October 6, 1972, National Coaches Day. And it's kind of hung on and came and went a little bit since then, but we're gonna talk about that this week. And because I guess, John, I know that you, being a coach, is you're more than just what you're dealing with, more than just what takes place on the athletic field. Coaches a lot of times are, you know, second to a mom or parents as an influential person in somebody's life.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you look back at, talk to many people and they'll tell you look back at the mentors and the, you know, the major influences in their life outside of their immediate family or, you know, a workplace mentor. And oftentimes it can be traced back or dates back to a coach they had during their formative years. And I know that was the case with me, both in high school and then also when I began my coaching career. I just had two great people that really saw something in me I didn't see in myself, believed in me at a time I didn't believe in myself. And I think that's what great coaches do, whether it's a sports coach, executive coach, any kind of coach. You know, they see something in you don't necessarily see in yourself.
And it's kind of ironic that on the eve of National Coaches Day, that a couple big name coaches in the world of professional sports got relieved of their duties today with the Miami Dolphins and Joe Philbin and the Washington Nationals and Matt Williams. And you know, it's a transition, John, for a lot of these professional coaches from playing to coaching, and that's not easy. An easy transition for a lot of people, is it?
It's a real tough one. And if you look at, I think cautionary tale numero uno is Michael Jordan. Oh. You know, great coaches don't always make, or great players don't always make great coaches, because oftentimes it just came a little too easy to them. And they kind of take that skill set for granted, and they don't know how to develop the same thing in other people because, you know, they had some God-given talent that other people weren't blessed with.
Yeah, I mean, it helps, I think, in one aspect, having a name and having a great accolades behind you. I think that would make people listen to what you say and maybe try to absorb like a sponge what you're dishing out. But if you can't explain it and dish it out in terms that they can relate to or take something from, it doesn't matter who you are.
Absolutely. And it's all in the approach. You know, when Michael Jordan was the general manager of the Wizards, you know, he literally made a rookie number one draft pick, Kwame Brown, who I know is from public school, probably not too far away from you in Georgia.
Savannah, he's on the other side of the state. But yeah, everybody here knows who he was.
He would make him cry in practice every day. He just couldn't relate to him. So I think, you know, the best coaches are relationship builders and they're great communicators. And yeah, absolutely. It helps to have a name behind that to sell tickets and to get buy-in from the fan base. But yeah, it's all in what I like to call the coach approach.
Yeah, and you know that well, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I'm glad you brought up Michael Jordan because a teammate of Michael Jordan with the Chicago Bulls while they were making that great run, Steve Kerr he got into broadcasting and was really good. And then he became a coach and he was really good. And, you know, it's kind of weird that you have one of the greatest players of all time. I mean, Steve Kerr was a nice player, 3-point shooter, but what would make a guy like him be, you know, a better coach than Michael Jordan? That's the $64,000 question, I guess.
I think that when it doesn't come naturally, when you have to work a little harder and you're the underdog, you have more of an appreciation for the process. Mm-hmm. You have to look to find those edges, and it forces you to become more resourceful. It's kind of like when you're an entrepreneur and you're on a shoestring budget with a startup, you're forced to do it a little differently and become a little more resourceful. And it actually, it makes you better. Your adversity is actually your advantage. As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah. No, it's not crazy.
I mean, look at Billy Beane with Moneyball. That was born out of, we have every possible financial handicap in Major League Baseball. We got to do it different.
Can you become a great coach by just doing your homework? Is that another part of it, do you think?
I think you'll never become a great coach unless you do your homework.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's, you know, clearly it's not the only thing, but you've really got to embrace the grind and fall in love with the process of, you know, I call it, there's that old Buddhist expression, chop wood, carry water before enlightenment. And what do you do after enlightenment? Chop wood, carry water. And I think that's the case with coaching, with being an athlete, with being an entrepreneur. You've got to fall in love with the daily process of, you know, the routine. And there's nothing sexy about doing the same thing every single day, but it's those fundamentals as a coach, as an athlete, you know, as a business person. The fundamentals will drive your success. Because there are no shortcuts, as you know.
No, and you have to have the fundamentals before you can, you know, build on top of that. And you know better than anyone. You're now going into businesses or speaking in front of groups of people, and you're still kind of having to assume the role of coach, I would assume. You have to game plan what you're going to talk about. You kind of maybe have to know your audience, or that would be like knowing your opponent. And then you have to make the calls, you know, on game day or kind of on the fly. And, you know, that's still what you're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like to say when I made the transition out of coaching athletes and into coaching executives is my job never changed. My recruits are the only thing that changed. Because at the end of the day, the same things that drive success on the field drive success in the workplace. And I think you win in the locker room first. As a team in sports, and you win in the office first as a business before you win in the marketplace. So a lot of it is about team chemistry and building that cohesive group. When you got a group of people who want to work together for each other and with each other, that changes everything. You know, the most successful teams you see in sports right now is, you know, teams are making their playoff runs in baseball. They aren't always the most talented, but they're usually the ones with the best locker room. And when you can tap into that as a business, that's kind of the X factor. I think that's what separates the winners from the losers.
And in baseball, it helps when you got two good starting pitchers too that can you can kind of ride.
Absolutely.
I mean that in baseball and in NBA, it's kind of nice when you got you know a couple guys like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade on a team and you can kind of ride that. But you know you have to have the talent and then you have to know how to harness and cultivate that talent, and that's what really makes a good coach a great coach, doesn't it?
Definitely. You know, there's an old saying, coaching, and I think it's true in business. It's not the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and Joes. And yeah. You can have the best playbook in the world, but if you don't have the horses, you ain't going to win the race. You know, you can have the best business plan in America, but if you don't have people who can execute it, you're not going to win in the marketplace. And I think that's where a lot of businesses, and like you had mentioned, there are a couple coaches whose heads are on the chopping blocks today. That's where a lot of owners just don't understand that, you know, instant gratification doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You've got to give people the resources, the personnel, and then, you know, if you trusted them enough to hire them, get out of their way and let them do their jobs. And we're not seeing a whole lot of patience today.
There's one team, John, that kind of defies that, and I think you know who it is. They've maybe only had three coaches in 40 some years, and you know I think that, and they're usually a pretty successful team. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy how they kind of do things that way, and it works for them, and no other team kind of follows that lead.
They believe very strongly in continuity. They don't have the biggest budget. They really believe in culture. And it's, you know, the Rooney family has run that organization like a family business. And what I mean by that is not just ownership, but the locker room, everything about it is, it's a family business. And you can see that in the stands on game day too.
You can, and other teams maybe try that model a little bit, and it really doesn't maybe work as well for them. I mean, the Chicago Bears are run as a family business as well, and they've had, three head coaches in the last 3 years?
Yeah, they've had, and I would say that, you know, it's not necessarily about getting the sexy pick or the biggest name. It's about finding the right person. You know, you look at the lack of patience that teams have. You know, switch gears just for a second. Look at all the rumors about Charlie Strong being fired at the University of Texas.
Man, I know.
He's in his second year. He hasn't, you know, the cupboards were bare when he arrived. The culture was lackadaisical. You know, those kids weren't used to working hard. Charlie Strong didn't all of a sudden forget how to coach football when he got to Austin, Texas. That's the same guy that turned Louisville into a monster. That's the same guy that helped Urban Meyer win multiple national championships as defensive coordinator at Florida. He's not being given enough time. People aren't patient enough.
No, you know some Texas Longhorn alumni probably like I do, John, and they're not patient people. And that university spends more on athletics and football than most any other team in the country. So that's maybe why patience is a little thin. And we're with John Brubaker here on the Tech of Sports this week talking about coaching and just kind of a far-flung conversation here talking about National Coaches Day, which is Tuesday, October 6th this week, a day where you should maybe give your old coach that you like to call or if you're currently being coached by someone, just kind of say we appreciate you on National Coaches Day. And John, one other thing, since this is the Tech of Sports, I know we've talked about this a little bit, but the ever-changing world of technology and sports and how some coaches have embraced it quicker than others, and it appears a lot of the coaches that have embraced it have been a little more successful than the coaches that, you know, weren't quick to embrace it. And, you know, if you were coaching today, would you want all the tech and all the data possible at your disposal, or were you somebody that, you know, maybe didn't need all that to make the decisions that you had to make?
I was somebody who was very old school. You know, I always hand wrote recruiting letters. I didn't want, you know, people around the program during practice. And I don't know that you could continue to operate that way today and still be successful. In looking at all the technology that is at your disposal and looking at, you know, how recruits make decisions today, I think the number one thing I would probably do, Rick, is I would probably use Periscope during my pregame and my halftime talks with my team, because recruits today, they have a pretty good BS detector. And they crave, kids today crave authenticity. They want to know exactly what they're getting themselves into. And if they can get a peek behind the curtain, if they can't be in the locker room, but they can see what's going on, and they can see just how authentic a coach is communicating with their athletes, I think that'll help tip the scales in a coach's favor. If he could embrace technology and utilize it in that way, that could be very strong.
That is really key that you mentioned that, because for me, I love seeing what a coach says, the last words he says before this team takes the field, and then I love to see the first words he says when the team comes back in the locker room after a win or a loss. And I, you know, as a Green Bay Packer fan, I saw the Mike McCarthy speech to the Packers after they beat San Francisco yesterday. I went and just watched that 4-minute video of him talking to the team, and the Packers, who hadn't beaten San Francisco in, you know, in three straight, they were 0-3 the last three meetings with them. And I think Mike McCarthy is close to another coach that kind of fits that Pittsburgh Steeler mold as the, you know, the current Steeler coach in Mike Tomlin. And he's pretty no nonsense. I think he's fair, and the people in Green Bay love him, and the Packers appear to play really hard for him. And I think he's one another coach that does things the right way.
And I think what's really, really revealing about everything you just said was the length of that video, Rick. He talked to them for 4 minutes. You don't get people's attention very long. And I think that is, you know, the wonderful power of, let's say, Twitter or, you know, Periscope. These just, you need to talk to your employees, your players, whoever it is. You really need to talk to them in sound bites. And that's about all you can hold their interest, is probably that 4-minute snippet. You know, I thought that was very revealing in what you just said.
Communication, of course, is key. And now we're able to communicate in so many different ways. If you were coaching now, John, would you want all your players' numbers on your iPhone? And would you be texting them when you had maybe a random thought, or when you wanted to offer a little bit of encouragement? Would you be that type of coach that, you know, away from the practice field, would be sending little texts to people?
I think you can't afford not to do that in the recruiting process. And I think that as a coach with your athletes 20 hours a week and, you know, 200 plus days out of the year, you have got to invent new ways to motivate them, to educate them, to inform them, to get, you know, get them to communicate with you, and just new channels. And sometimes that might be texting. Sometimes, you know, I know some very successful coaches who refuse to email and refuse to text their athletes. And these aren't, you know, the Larry Browns or the, you know, the elder statesmen of, you know, any particular sport. These are really young coaches who realize, like, they're in the business education, and to really get that conversation going and make it two-way, I want my players to come in and sit down and look me in the eyes. I just thought that was really interesting to hear that from a couple of coaches. Yep, we don't text, we don't email our guys. And here I am thinking, like, well, if I could go back and do that now, like you just said, you know, I think I would take, you know, whether it's YouTube, Vine, text, I would take every opportunity to just find which channels resonate with which guys or girls, you know, and like, because everybody, something different resonates with everybody. It's just finding the right buttons to push with people.
Those are your successful coaches, no doubt about it. And there's nobody I'd rather talk about coaching with than John Brubaker here, Coach Brew, here on the Tech of Sports. And John, we've talked about the coach approach before, Seeds of Success, your second book doing really well, and kind of update us on the screenplay and kind of if we're going to see that on a screen at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you asking about that. Seeds of Success screenplay is being finalized as we speak. We anticipate having the finished product November 1st. And, you know, ideally, we'll be going into production summer, probably June, July of 2016, and hitting the big screen shortly thereafter, followed by digital distribution, you know, Amazon, Netflix, hopefully, cable television network can pick it up. But it's really, it's a family-friendly, faith-based film that's inspirational, and it speaks to the challenges that coaches have. Because like a lot of entrepreneurs, and coaches are entrepreneurial, we tend not to, if we have an off switch, we tend not to know how to throw that switch. You know, our mind's always running and racing, and we are pushing and grinding to a detriment. And it's really what this movie is about, is teaching you that you can have a successful program and have a healthy, successful marriage and family life.
Yeah, and there's hopefully I'm sure your thumbprint's going to be all over it. You'll be watching it to make sure that it's got your seal of approval on it, because I know you're picky about things, and I know you don't want it Hollywooded up too much. So we're
definitely not.
We're looking forward to that. Hopefully, maybe a good day to release it next year would be on National Coaches Day. I don't know if that's possible or not, but
that would be nice. You'd have a good little tie-in there. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I like that.
You'd have a good little tie-in there, and I also know that you've completed your doctoral coursework in sports psychology. At some point, are we going to be having to call you Dr. Coach Brubaker?
I don't think so. I think no. Coach Brew is, it's just kind of how I always have identified as a coach, and one of the things I really appreciated when I first got started in the business of coaching is my mentor, the first day I worked for him, today people would just look it up online, but back then it was an unabridged dictionary. It was probably the size of the Atlanta phone book. And just throws on the desk. He said, look up these two words, teach. I looked it up, and he said, what's it say? I said, it says to provide instruction. So what's the second word you want me to look up? He said, coach. I looked up coach, flipped over to the page of the dictionary. It said to provide instruction. And I think that whether you're a manager, an athletic coach, a CEO, we all need to be in the business of coaching. I think he said it best. My mentor said it best. He said, you manage inventories, you lead people. And coaches are leaders. We focus on the rewards, not the awards. And it might seem like semantics, but I do think there is a big difference. The awards are Coach of the Year awards, national championship awards. The rewards is really your legacy and the relationship you have with your players. We've got this container ship that went down on the way from Jacksonville to Puerto Rico. And I coached at Maine Maritime Academy for a number of years. And a lot of my former players are engineers on ships, merchant marines, ship captains. And as soon as I saw that, I saw in the news that there are a number of personnel on board who are from Maine. I got on the horn with a couple of my former players. I said, do you guys know if, first of all, are you doing okay? And do you guys know if any of our other guys are on that ship? And you just sort of see that chain reaction take place where they've all got each other's back. And, I think when leaders understand you're in that relationship business first, and if you get the relationships right, the winning, the financial windfall, if you will, those all take care of themselves.
Yeah,
we got to get the relationships right, and we got to look out for our people.
Relationships, communication, and supporting people. Those are really three of the traits that a good coach needs. And John, last thing here, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but we'll have a presidential election coming up next year, a primary and then a general election. If you could pick one presidential candidate and give them some coaching advice, who would you pick right now, and what kind of advice would you give them?
Wow, that's a tough question, because it's where do we start? I think that a lot of our problems, not to get too political, but a lot of our problems could be solved if you put a coach in charge. So as I'm looking at the candidates, who would I hire to run an athletic program is really kind of how I look at this, because it's leadership by example. I think that the American people don't need another motto to say, hope and change and whatever. We need a model to see. We need to see somebody who walks their talk. And, you know, financially, with the state that our country is in, you know, part of me says Donald Trump would be a great businessman to put in office. But the other part of me says, and this is probably the advice I would give him, is know when to shut up.
I'm sure you, I'm sure coaches say that to their charges lots of times. So
that's, absolutely. And, you know, it's well done is better than well said. I think that, you know, it's also sales 101. You say enough to make the sale and not another word more. You're just doing damage after that. You know,
you can kill the sale by saying too much.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's my advice to a candidate.
Great stuff from John Brubaker. And John, I know you got the two books out there. What else would you like to promote? And you know, how can people see what everything you do and get in contact with you?
I appreciate that, Rick. You know, one of the things that's coming up here, November 10th, we're relaunching Seeds of Success. It's been picked up by a major publishing house in New York City, Morgan James Publishing. And you can find that on Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. You can also go to seedsofsuccessbook.com and find it there. There's resources about the book, the movie, and everything else that we have going on right there. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, and what about your personal website for anyone maybe looking at your business coaching services?
Sure. It is coachbru.com. That's coachbru.com.
Excellent. And both those books, of course, are also available on Amazon. And Modern Life Podcast Network has an affiliate program with Amazon. So if you're looking to buy one of John's books and or anything on Amazon, you can go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon and then do your shopping right through that link, that affiliate site, and no extra cost to you. Real easy to shop, real easy to find things on Amazon, and invite you to go there, modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon. John, you always have a lot going on, but I know Steve and I appreciate you, and if we ever need a bit of advice or a quote or something, you're always willing to talk to us and help us out too. So you definitely walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. You got a great program going on here.
Yeah, we try, and we like to have people on that offer something to our guests and offer something to us as well. And it's been great to have you on again. And we'll hopefully have you on, when you're about to become a movie star or a famous director or accept, a Film Academy or a Golden Globe Award or something.
We'll get you guys a cameo for sure.
Yeah, you want to actually want people to go to the watch the movie. I don't think you want to keep people away. But Steve, I'm sure could do something for the movie there. If you need a tackling dummy or something, he could fill in. John, thanks again, and happy National Coaches Day to you this week.
Thank you, Rick. Likewise.
Sure. And Modern Life Podcast Network has many other shows that may be of interest to you. You can head over to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Check out all the shows that are available. And also Two Thumbs Up Media, the podcast and internet broadcast directory set up by the people here at Modern Life Podcast Network. So you've been listening to The Tech of Sport, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.